Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Stay with us, if you would. We're having some technical difficulties, and I know why, because this message is so good today. Just stay with us, if you will. We'll get it started here in just a couple of minutes. I apologize for this, but the system froze up. Not ours, my computer, but the system we used. So I apologize. Just bear with us.
Good morning, and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Have you ever read a verse when suddenly you received a totally different interpretation of what it means? Or really what the Lord wanted you to get from it on that particular day? I remember the day, honey, that I got a fresh revelation from reading Galatians 5:16.
Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh."
I first heard this Galatian verse taught as a quick, quick, don't verse. In other words, live a godly life without going to movies, watching television, dancing, smoking, drinking, looking at girls, or anything that doesn't happen within the four walls of the church. The verse says, "You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The word fulfill is the Greek word G5055, and it means to bring to a close, to finish, to end, to pay. Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for lust, G1939, and it means desire, craving, longing, desire for what is forbidden, lust. Way too many believers get into financial trouble because they desire things which they perceive to be soul-satisfying and life-fulfilling, simply because others have them, or somehow these things will meet a need for them. The Greek word for lust is mentioned 38 times in 37 verses according to the Hebrew Concordance of the King James Bible. As we read these verses, we felt stirred to discuss the first one on the list, which is Mark 4:19.
In Mark 4, verse 19, it says, "And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful."
It's not that God is opposing us having things, but rather the things having us. For years I've taught that prosperity is not what you have. Prosperity is what happens to you. The securing of things of the world, the newest cars, toys, electronic gadgets, clothes, shoes, things, take the place of your desiring, craving, and longing for the Word of God, the things of God, the presence of God. The question is, how do people get into financial trouble? They buy things they don't need, with money they don't have, to impress others or fulfill something they feel is missing in their own lives.
The classic Amplified translation of Mark 4:19 offers a clear perspective on what this verse actually means. And of course, the classic Amplified, or the Amplified Bible, amplifies the scripture by using all the words in the description. It says, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless.
What becomes fruitless? God's word working within us. What is a distraction of the age? In our opinion, it's anything that separates us from what should be our first love, the word of God, and our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Depending upon the seasons of our lives, as children grow up, they begin to drive and hang out with their friends. They begin to spend more time with others than they do with us. How do you feel when you aren't needed as much as you once were as a parent? How do you feel when your opinion isn't valued as much as it used to be? How do you feel when you've only got a few minutes here and there talking to your children? How do you feel about your children making choices that don't reflect or respect the things that you've taught them? Have you ever had your home treated more like a bed and breakfast? That's where your children stay in the same room, eat your food, but otherwise are off visiting places or out with their friends. And then don't get me wrong, there's a natural progression in childhood development. You just want your children to remember the instructions, the values that you taught them from an early age. And let's be real, to still be needed in their lives, other than when there's a problem or an emergency. Now here's the question. Can you imagine how our Heavenly Father feels about us? How we've ordered our priorities and treated Him in our daily lives?
Now let's go a little further. In Mark 4:19, it also warns us about, quote, the pleasure and delight and false glamour, the craving and passionate desire for other things. We find false glamour to be an interesting phrase. Have you ever seen advertisers use anyone ugly in television commercials? And have you ever wondered why? It's simply because advertising executives know they're selling an illusion of what your life would be like if you had their product. The advertisers desire to paint a pleasing picture in your mind, one beyond the reality that you're currently living, and truthfully, probably anybody is currently living, and they know that ugly won't do it. The advertiser's end game is for you to crave and passionately desire the products they're promoting, to the extent that you'll do whatever is necessary, including the bondage of debt, to possess them. They are feeding on needy people. So what is the consequence of yielding to the allure of advertisement? The last few words in Mark 4:19 give us a real warning when it says the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless.
Our desire, our lust for things, will choke and suffocate the word. We need to pay particular attention to the scripture when it says that the word will become fruitless. Sadly, that means that the Word of God is not first in our lives, that the promises of God, the benefits of sonship that He promised us, will not be producing fruit, reproducing fruit in our lives. In fact, truth be told, we'll experience crop failure in epic proportions. The lost of this world are seeking what's missing in their lives, Jesus. They look to the world because they know no other place to go. But as Christians, we not only have the answers for self-fulfillment, it's our duty to share it with others and to rescue them from this demonic deception and not fall into it ourselves.
God forbid.
God, well, He made amazing promises to us in His Word. But if we let fleshly desire for other things and people take precedence over Him, then we're going to live an unfulfilling and disappointing life and be no better off than those who don't know God.
The Message Bible translation of Mark 4, verses 18 and 19 also has some pretty good things to say about it. In their Message translation, it says, "The seed cast in the weeds represents the one who hears the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it."
Wow. Wow. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. Being consumed by the things we want to get, the things we want to do, and the people we want to spend our time with other than God. Well, it means we're committing mental
and spiritual
suicide.
That's right.
By choking the very life out of ourselves and our dreams.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't matter how many sermons you've heard, how many seminars you've attended, or how much Christian TV you've watched. Misplaced spiritual priorities permits financial and personal stress to take root in our lives. As the verse says, the stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. That's why we should follow the very good advice found in Galatians 5:16.
The Classic Amplified Bible says it this way, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature, without God."
When it comes to living a life fulfilled and godly, it's not so much what we stop doing as it is what we start doing. We must develop the habit of walking, living, being totally responsive to and guided by the Holy Spirit. Then everything else will fall into place. It's a matter of putting the Word of God to work in our lives.
You know, honey, I also had a revelation of this years ago in this Galatians 5:16, where in the King James Version it says, you know, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, brought it to me. When you start walking in the Spirit, all of the things of the flesh just fall away, because your focus, your goal, your desire becomes walking in the Spirit, and the things that want to take you away just fall to the wayside because you are committed and focused on the right thing. So it's not a matter of the quit stuff. It's a matter of focusing on what is important in our lives, and all the other things just fall away as terribly unimportant. And that is really the key to me to a successful spiritual life with God.
It's true. That's very good. Now, you remember, honey, that verse says the stress strangles what they've heard and nothing comes of it.
And you know, that's what happens to so many people, is that they want the fruit to remain. They want good things in their lives. But the problem is unless you are cultivating that which is in God, nothing will come of it.
That's right. And that verse also should tell us that worrying about money or anything else that puts stress on you is not of God.
It's not His way of dealing with it.
And nothing will come of it.
That's right.
Except things will get worse. Things that get worse, just like worry. Don't worry. Believe the Word.
Amen. And walk and do the principles of the Word, and you will see fruit in your life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. Make sure you check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern,
July 4th. Wow.
Your birthday.
Yay.
Hallelujah.
Y'all have a wonderful July 4th, but tune in.
We
we'll be you here. Want to hear what, yes, what we'll we're going to say tomorrow, too.
Amen.
God be willing.
That's it. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen.